You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 5/24/21. Well, if you're like so many people out there, really had your business negatively impacted by COVID, but you've learned to adapt, you've created an online presence, and you've managed to create an online business, then you're going to want to hear what my next guest has to say, because there's a lot of secrets of online marketing, but there's a lot of things that aren't secret too, but that you need to know and you need to do. Eric Schwartzman is with us. And by the way, if you got any questions or comments, questions for Eric, author of The Digital Pivot, Secrets of Online Marketing, you can send an email to my personal address, kl@carrielutz.com. Well, Eric, it's great to have you on. And congratulations on the book. I understand it's doing quite well and really quite necessary. COVID has really changed the way we do business in this country, hasn't it?
Thanks, Carrie. It's great to be with you on the Financial Survival Network. And thanks for having me to talk about my book, The Digital Pivot, Secrets of Online Marketing. Who would have expected, you know, that physical restrictions would lock down everything from, you know, foot traffic to trade shows. You couldn't even really take a client out to dinner or around a golf. Everything pretty much, you know, that relied on physical interaction halted. And so really the only channel left standing was digital. And of course, you know, those businesses that didn't have a way to interact with customers online were laid bare. And they had to pivot real fast. Some did, some didn't. I think the SBA said they expected 40 to 60% of small businesses to go under as a result of the pandemic. Those are big numbers. Those are scary numbers. So, you know, I think having some sort of framework, if you're looking at digital and thinking, man, what do I do? I don't know where to go. I think having some sort of guide, some sort of framework by which to implement digital is valuable. And that's what the book's about.
And what a difference a year makes. I guess those who could adapt have adapted already, and those who couldn't have perished, if you will. But when we're looking at it now, even if you did manage to adapt somewhat, there's still lots more that you can do to really up your game and become an effective digital marketer, right?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, digital marketing is so new, and it's such a broad topic. There's so many different ways through which businesses market themselves online that if you're a newcomer or a business owner who's sort of, you know, had their nose down running their business, how would you have time to learn about all these different channels, which are changing all the time, and figure out which ones are right for you? You know, I got to tell you, you know, I get calls regularly from people who say, you know, hey, I need to improve my digital marketing. And I ask, well, okay, how do you think you should do that? And I would say the most common answer I get is people say, well, I really need more followers on social media. And I say, why? And they say, well, if I had more followers, you know, I'd have more opportunity to generate leads. And you know, they're not really wrong. The truth is, though, if you're going to generate a lead through social media, you don't really do that on social media unless, of course, you're advertising, and that's expensive. You know, you're going to pay upwards of $5 a lead. If you don't know what percentage of those convert, you're going to spend a lot of money and make no money back. So really what you've got to do is you've got to get them over to your own website, where you can, you know, get them to sign up for something, give you their email address, and then build a relationship with them over time and, you know, have some sort of clear path to purchase. And usually the people that come to me and say, I need more followers on social media, don't have a website set up to convert traffic to leads or revenue. And so often, you know, the discovery process is, well, you know, before we do that, let's clean up at home. Before we invite people over, let's make sure we clean up and put some snacks out, make it so that if people do show up, they have a good time and convert.
Right. You know, I actually wrote a book once upon a time, a couple of years back, called Viral Podcasting, How to Earn a Six-Figure Income from Your Show. And I'm not peddling it right now, don't get me wrong. But one of the things I wrote there was that it all depends upon your target audience, because if you're targeting millennials who live, who can't get out of their parents' basement or their attic, then you need a lot of them because they don't have any money. But if you're targeting people who own Gulfstream jets and private jets, maybe there's 100,000 of them around. If you have 1,000 of them and they're earning, you know, upwards 5-10 million or more per year, then maybe you only need 100 of them to connect with. So the idea that you're just going to obtain followers for the sake of obtaining followers really isn't going to do you much good in the long run, is it?
I definitely think that the number of followers or people on your list, and just to draw a distinction here, if I have a lot of followers on a social network, but I have no people on my email marketing list, I'm dependent on the social network for access to my customers. Whereas if I have their email addresses or their contact information, I can send out lead nurturing campaigns and convert them on my own clock based on things that are going on. I don't have to worry about the social network changing their algorithm and cutting my audience in half. I don't have to worry about the social network making it difficult for me to get in touch with my audience by forcing me to buy advertising. But I do think clearly, as you said, you know, the higher the price of what it is you're selling, the smaller the list you need, assuming they're the right list. If you're selling to consumers, obviously you need a big list. You're selling something inexpensive like merchandise or clothing or vacations, you're going to need a much bigger list than if you're selling a jet stream or even leasing private jets to high net worth individuals. So yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah. So the whole thing is, I guess what I'm saying is, before you can switch to the digital channel, really, or before you entertain it, you really need to be asking yourself a lot of questions and really taking a close look at your business, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Today's show is brought to you by Mustango River Resources. Their flagship projects are located in Kirkland Lake, an established gold camp that has historically produced over 70 million ounces of gold. The Kirkland West Project is a high-grade gold project beside Kirkland Lake Gold's world-class Mikasa Gold Mine, one of the highest-grade mines in the world. The Umeja Project is an advanced-stage project with 600,000-plus ounces of gold along the Cadillac Break, 25 kilometers east of Mikasa. Their projects have the potential to transform into another world-class mining camp in the Kirkland Lake District. Make sure you go over to mistango.com. That's mistango.com. Take a look and sign up for notifications. Stock is traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange, ticker symbol MIS. For more information and to sign up for notifications, go to mistango.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Well, you know, the way I sort of parse it out with a digital pivot is I take a sequential approach to owned, shared, earned, and paid media in that order. So people come to me and say, hey, I need digital marketing, you know, let's do social media. And then I'll typically say, well, before we do social media, let's do your website. I call that owned media because it's your website. You own it. And in terms of what you need to own for it to be owned media, you got to own the top level domain. So whatever, you know, the address is where it's located, you have to own that. It has to be yours. You have to be able to measure the traffic to the site however you like. You can't be reliant on a third party for access to your metrics. and that you have to be able to conduct e-commerce or generate a lead on that site without paying out a commission to a third party. So assuming you can check those three boxes, you've got an own media presence that you can start optimizing. And that really is square one. You know, a lot of people will think, well, I have a website and I'm not generating any leads. What am I doing wrong? Usually they have a website, but you know, a website is really just the presentation layer of a digital business, right? Websites don't perform e-commerce, right? That requires other software. You can't do a live chat on a website. You need software for that. You can't score leads on a website. You can't do sales pipeline management. So they have this sort of online brochure, which is sort of like a digital facade, almost like one of those facades on the backlot of a movie set, you know, where it looks like it's a building, but if you open the door, it's just a brick wall. That's kind of like just having a website without having a CRM, without having email marketing, without having analytics, without having security or backup or e-commerce or lead scoring or any of the other things that would make you a competitive digital business. So square one is building not just a path to purchase, right, a way to publish registration forms on your website so you can take in contact information and nurture it over time, but also a path to process on the back end. If every time someone signs up for something on your website, you get an email, that's not going to be a scalable way to process leads. If they flow right into a CRM, a sort of online database system where you can prospect and build a sales pipeline and actually have some sort of a prospecting sequence, then you can optimize it and get better over time because it's measured. Whereas if you're just getting a bunch of emails, it's just going to fall through the cracks. That's not a digital business. So I feel like, you know, step one, own media, you got to get your website right. Once you do get your website right, you know, a lot of people have those little links to their social media presence on their website. And I think, you know, more than using a social network to generate leads, I think social networking is really a way to prove to people that come to your website that you're legit. A lot of people will go to your website, they'll click on your YouTube link over to your YouTube channel. And if you've got 2 subscribers, they're going to say, well, this guy's not real. And it's not like you need 1 million followers or 1 million subscribers. You just have to have enough to show that you're real, that you're legit. Like, I mean, even low 4 figures is fine. So I think, you know, the purpose of having at least some community on social media is to demonstrate social proof to potential buyers on your website that you're real, that there's a community that endorses what you have to say. You know, once you've got that, once you've got own media and earned media somewhat in place, you're ready to go after digital PR. You know, used to be in the world of PR, if you wanted to get the media to write about you or you wanted to appear on a radio show or a TV show, you sent them a press kit in the mail. And that's what you used to pitch them. Well, there are no press kits anymore. Now there's a website. And of course, the media is going to look and see if you have any social engagement too. So it really doesn't make sense to pitch the media to write about you or have you on their show if you don't have a website that passes muster and you don't have some social engagement. And so those 3 channels, owned, shared, and earned media, that comprises what I call organic marketing. And once you've got enough experience there that you know what works and what doesn't, if you like, you can then add in paid media and start actually buying leads because you have some idea of what percentage will convert. You know the lifetime value of a customer. So you can now figure out what to allocate of your spend to paid media because you know what you're going to make back.
Right. So return on investment. So you got to put something into it to get something out of it. It's not just going to happen for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to apply the same principles that you use to choose financial investments to growing your business, right? You should invest in the most profitable business activities first. Well, the most profitable business activity is going to be a lead or a sale. If you can't do that, you're not ready for social. You're not ready for digital PR, earned media. You're certainly not ready for advertising because you're going to send a bunch of people to a site that can't convert. So step one, own media. then shared media, then earned media, then paid media. And that's the sequence that I outline in the book. And that's the sequence that I also use to help small businesses pivot to digital and grow their online revenue 2 to 5 times in 6 to 12 months.
Right. So all of this costs money, but the initial stages really don't cost that much money. It's once you've got the thing together, and then you're going to do basically paid for media, paid for advertising. That's where the costs kind of run up, huh?
Well, not everybody needs to advertise. I mean, in a lot of B2B sectors where there's sort of a glut or a vacuum for valuable content around that niche, you can possibly, you know, just build your presence entirely through owned media, through content marketing, search engine optimization. And, you know, a lot of people hear those terms and they think, wow, this is beyond me. I can't do it. And clearly there are books on every one of these disciplines. There are books on search engine optimization and books on conversion optimization, books on content marketing. But, you know, I felt like there wasn't one book that was sort of a good overview for everything, you know, the Kit Kat and Caboodle in a single book. That's why I wrote The Digital Pivot, is because I think prior to this book, you would have had to read a library to get the knowledge that's in this book. But now, you know, you can, or listen, there's an audiobook as well. You can read or listen to this book. And I think a small business owner, an entrepreneur who's looking to come up to speed on digital, avoid the major potholes in the road, it's going to really help them a ton and accelerate their transition as they pivot.
All right. Well, excellent. So again, the book is The Digital Pivot, Secrets of Online Marketing, and it's available on Kindle, hardcover, paperback, and wherever fine books used to be sold. And the author, we're speaking with him now, is Eric Schwartzman. Eric, been a pleasure. And hey, we'll have a link to your site in the show notes to this interview. And any of you have a question for Eric, shoot me an email. I'll direct it right to him, kl@carrylutz.com. That's the place to go. And don't forget, sign up for your free newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Eric, been a pleasure. We will talk to you again real soon. Thanks.
Carry, thanks so much for having me on the Financial Survival Network.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.